You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Pesky Auto Repair. I hear these guys are good fellas.
Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Hey, my car's making a funny noise, and,
What do you mean, funny? I don't understand funny. What, like, I amuse you? Like, this is a funny place? Funny like a clown? What do you mean, funny? What?
What are you doing?
Tell me.
How much is this gonna cost me?
What do you mean, how much is it gonna cost you? What do you mean? What are you doing? Embarrass me in front of my mechanics? What's wrong with you? Get out of here. Leave the keys and get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of my shop right now. Get out of here. I'll get back with you.
When it comes to auto and truck repair, not everyone you deal with is a good fella. At Perfection Auto Works, we take car repair very seriously. From your brakes, belts, and hoses to funny noises under the hood. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
And thank you. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona, now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk. Thanks for making this all possible. Very quickly, a personal note. I have a PT Cruiser. I love this little car. It takes me everywhere I need to go. Air conditioner goes out. Temperature gauge climbs to we're all going to die. I called AAA. They rushed the car to Perfection Auto Works Wednesday. I get a call on Thursday. Mike Emery says, your car's ready. I went, really? He says, yes. I said, the cost? He said, it's the estimate. Just what we told you. Didn't have time to detail the car because we wanted to get it back to you as quickly as possible. That's service. I mean, who does that? What auto repair place does that? That's why we're so proud to have Perfection Auto Works as our prime sponsor. Great show today. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, will be with us. Also, we'll talk with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. And Jim Hanley has their financial report. Here's Jeff Rogers, one of the best defense lawyers in all of America, former chair of the Democratic Party. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here, John.
Dr. Randy Freeze pulling out of the CD race in District 12 really shocked me. He had waited a long time to make this run for Congress. Everybody knew that he had this in his mind. He's been in the House of Representatives, easily elected over and over again. One of the more popular Democrats, had raised more money for this race than anybody, $500,000, headed for $1 million. What the devil happened?
Well, I can only take him at his word that he thought it was more important that he focus on his medical practice. I've known Randy for a long time. I supported him when he first ran. I held fundraisers for him, and I thought he was the strongest general election candidate we have. The other two in the race are exceptional candidates as well, but I thought he made for the strongest general election candidate, and that's why I supported him and even donated to his campaign. So I was a little surprised at his decision, but I respect it, and it's not going to change the fact that I have a lot of respect for him and for the work he's done at the state legislature and for his work as a physician. He's one of the top physicians in emergency room surgery, and he's in a department that has some of the most highly qualified doctors in the United States. So I wish him well in any new ventures he has, but I'm a little disappointed. I thought he would make a great congressman. But,
is this lessen the chance for Democrats to hold on to the seat?
Well, I think that that of the two left candidates left, probably the strongest one, given the demographics of that district, and that all might change when we get the maps drawn. But right now, I think probably the strongest of the two candidates is probably Kirsten Engel. Has the best chance of holding on to that seat. And in this day and age, sometimes you have, gender and other issues come into play, and particularly in elections. And so I think she's probably the strongest of the two. But, one thing I've learned from this Hernandez family is don't ever count those folks out. They're a mighty, mighty, mighty crowd of kids. I call them kids because they seem so young, but never count those folks out.
I would think a Gabby Giffords endorsement or Gabby Giffords Kelly endorsement would be critical. I don't think she would get in this race. This was her seat when she was shot. Her husband's running again for the Senate. I doubt that she would get in. It would be a very powerful endorsement from either one of these two Democrats, wouldn't it?
It would, but it would probably not be a wise political decision to get into endorsing people when your husband's going to be on the ballot. I've always thought that candidates themselves are really ought to be very careful when they start endorsing other candidates, and because naturally in a contested primary you're going to have people backing both of the two candidates, and you're going to offend people if you engage in an endorsement. So I think you need to be overly cautious about that.
Matt Hines got into a battle on who lives where and whatever as he was running against Ann Kirkpatrick, the incumbent congresswoman. Of course, he recovered by winning, and surprisingly so, winning a seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors from a longtime incumbent. So I guess you can have a battle with Democrats and still survive. He certainly has shown that. But I don't know whether that's going to be a very polite race or not. I would assume that it would be. Ironically, with Dr. Freeze in that race, he was certainly credited with saving Gabby's life as a trauma surgeon when she was shot. And, of course, Daniel Hernandez placed, a bandage or somewhat of a towel over her head and was reportedly able to help save her life as she was rushed to an emergency vehicle after she was shot. So two of these candidates were very much a part of the survival of the longtime congresswoman, our Gabby Giffords. Such an irony there.
Yeah, absolutely.
This Democratic Party with Kelly and then Kirsten Sinema doing all kinds of weird and stupid things, is it as strong moving into next year's election in the midterms as it was with last year's success?
I think it will be, but I'm sitting here on pins and needles about the redistricting. I always thought that 10 years ago we had a pretty fair drawing of the maps, but 10 years before that we had basically a group of five people, two Democrats, two Republicans, and one ostensibly an independent who was really a wolf in sheep's clothing in my mind, worked for Tucson Electric Power and was the chairman of that commission. And they drew those lines to favor Republicans. And I'm a little worried that could happen again with this current chair who ostensibly is an independent but used to be a Republican. I'm worried about gerrymandering and the redistricting. But if we get a fair map drawn, then I think we can take either the House or the Senate, and I think we've got a pretty fair shot at taking the governor's job. So I'm optimistic about 2022, I'm a little worried about this legislative races because of the redistricting, but statewide, I think we're going to run strong again, and I think we're going to take even more statewide offices than we did last time.
Does the Biden polling numbers bother you as to how it may trickle down to races like Congress and the state of Arizona or even the U.S. Senate seat up for grabs next year? Will he recover from this, or is he going to stay where he is for a while to the point that it may hurt Democrats all over the country?
I think, one, he'll recover, and two, I'm not terribly concerned because, you know, his approval numbers seem to have tanked a little bit because of the manner in which we exited Afghanistan. It's pretty much coincident with that. And people don't usually vote on foreign policy issues in elections. I mean, it's very rare that a foreign policy issue will sway most voters. Most voters are voting, you know, you're on their kitchen table issues, the economy, you know, what they think of the direction that America is going in. And I also do believe that the Republicans are going to have shot themselves in the foot on this abortion issue. You know, it's kind of like many people are comparing it to, you know, did the dog finally catch the car and now what's he going to do? You know, they've used this to rally their base for years and years and years, for 50 years now almost. And it may rally the base, but it turns off the rest of America. And this is something that you'll notice that they're not out there crowing in the field saying, hey, isn't this great? You know, you're hearing a little bit of noise about other states and saying, well, maybe we'll copy this law. But, you know, I don't see a bunch of celebrating going on in Republican circles. The smarter minds in the Republican Party are scratching their head going, oh, my God, what do we do now? We ran on this for years and now we got it and it's really not going to be popular. And it's going to motivate a lot of women who were turning against the Republicans. Suburban women, you know, are really, really, really turned this last election for us. And this is going to make them twice as angry as they already are.
Back to Biden and Afghanistan for just a moment. Certainly somebody in the room that was advising the president could have stood up and said, you know, Mr. President, if we pull out as quickly as you're proposing we pull out, we believe that the Afghan government is so fragile and so corrupt and the military is so weak that the Taliban could literally take over the entire country in a week, Mr. President. Have we considered that? I don't know whether anybody stood up and said that, but damn well should have, because that's what the hell happened.
Well, it is what happened, and I have to wonder, were there some people crying in the wilderness saying that, or was this just generally the same kind of crap we've been fed from the intelligence and defense community for the last 20 years, that, you know, victory's right around the corner, we can prop this government up forever, we can build a nation here. Well, we've learned that doesn't work. It didn't work in Iraq. It didn't work in Vietnam. Didn't work in Afghanistan. You know, if you're going to have a functioning, healthy democracy, that's something that has to grow from within. You can't come in and impose a democracy upon a people, particularly a people who are as isolated and tribal and primitive as this Afghanistan is. I mean, when you get out of the hinterlands and into Kabul and a few other places, it seems like a normal country. But it doesn't seem like that when you leave Kabul and the main cities. It's a very primitive place with a lot of warlords and tribes. And, you know, any belief that we could make a democracy out of that place was a mistaken belief. And anybody who peddled that over the last 20 years was wrong.
I want to talk about the legacy of Doug Ducey, our Republican governor, in his last year and last term. But let me take a quick break. We're talking with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, one of the best defense lawyers in America. Jeff, hang on. We'll be right back with you. From the Perfection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for being with us.
My name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customers.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. Well, this is Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Jeff, do see a legacy, the governor's legacy here as he heads into his last year, voter laws to deny voter rights. We've got 19,000 dead from COVID-19, a mixed message always on masks. And now on vaccination, it's probably unfair, and I hate even saying it, that the Ducey policy has led to many more deaths than was necessary or even logical under the circumstances, but directly related to his policy. Is that fair, unfair, or crazy?
I think that's a completely fair assessment, John. I think that, you know, he has abandoned Arizonans and I'm not sure why. He's basically taking the position of Governor Abbott from Texas and Governor DeSantis from Florida. They're basically engaged in a contest to see who can be more cruel and who can kill more people and who can do more damage to our society. And I think that I'm not sure what happened to Doug Ducey. He's a guy I've never agreed with too much, although he's done a decent job of his appointments to the trial courts, horrible job of his appointments to the Supreme Court. But I've always thought he was, politically smarter than this. He's got nowhere to go. I mean, when his term is up, what is he going to do? Is he going to be a lapdog for Trump? Trump doesn't even like him and doesn't support him and has done everything he can to insult him. So, if there is another Trump presidency, and God knows that we hope that never occurs, he's not going to get a position in that. Maybe he's hoping to become DeSantis's vice presidential running mate or something along those lines. God knows what he's thinking. But he's not making decisions that are good for Arizona and good for the people of Arizona, but he's not even making decisions that are smart political decisions for a conservative governor who has any ambition to go anywhere else. I mean, he's basically shot himself in the foot multiple times in the last year and a half and seems to have no regrets about it and seems to continue to one-up everybody on his threats against cities and counties and universities and public schools about things like masking and vaccines.
1 minute left here. What are the chances of the Democrats taking the chief executive job in Arizona next year? Any possibility?
Right now, I'd estimate those chances are about 60-40. I'd bet on the Democrats if I were a betting man. Katie Hobbs has shown herself to be a wonderful campaigner, politically very smart. I think we're going to win that spot.
Jeff Rogers, always great to talk with you. I appreciate you spending part of your weekend with us. Always great to hear what you have to say. Thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome, John. Have a nice afternoon.
You bet. Democrats of Greater Tucson, Democrat chair of the Pima County Democrats, and one of the best defense lawyers in the country. I want to get very quickly to a promo for next week. It is 9/11 next Saturday. I did an interview with Jim Campbell, who's a developer and a home builder in Tucson, Arizona. He escaped from Tower 2 as Tower 1 collapsed on 9/11/2021. The story he told me is a story that I've repeated and the transcripts of his comments literally for the last 10 years. It's been 20 years since 9/11. This report, brought to you by Perfection Auto Works, and we want to thank Mike Emery for his sponsorship of the most compelling and important interview I've ever done in 50 years that will be aired at 3 o'clock next Saturday, of Jim Campbell's escape from Tower 2. It is a harrowing story of turning to look at people jumping from the windows, the tower coming down as he immediately escapes by just a moment before the whole tower collapsed on him. Those that were left behind where he was standing, watching Tower 1 being hit by the planes. This is a story that you have to hear again. It brings back the horror of 9/11, and it tells the story of survival. It is the most important interview in 50 years that I have done, and I want to thank Mike Emery and Perfection Auto Works for sponsoring this repeat of this amazing story. I hope you'll be listening next Saturday at 3:05 for the Jim Campbell survival story from Tower 2, 9/11/2001. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Show. Coming up, we'll talk with Larry Bodine, who is the member of Blog for Arizona, former award-winning reporter for the Daily News in New York, a lawyer, chair of the, Democrats of Greater Tucson, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. Another view from the progressive Blog for Arizona spokesperson, Larry Bodine, coming up in just a few moments following the news report at the bottom of the hour. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thank you so very, very much for listening.
The day I get out of prison, my own brother picks me up in a police car.
Jake, I got it at auction for next to nothing.
Perfect.
Jake, there's hope. It's Perfection Auto Works.
Hey, the band's back together.
We're on a mission from God. Mike is a cop motor, a 440 cubic inch plant. It has cop tires, cop suspension, and cop shocks. It's a model made before catalytic converters. Can you fix it?
Hey, no problem. Just give me the keys.
Fix the cigarette lighter.
I'll fix.
Go get him, guys.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Blues Brothers.
We want to give a shout out to Perfection Auto Works. Without them, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. Don't get the blues when it comes to auto repair. No matter what mission you're on, Perfection Auto Works is going to get you there. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. Larry Bodine is a former award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News. He's a lawyer, a contributor to Blog for Arizona, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and former delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He is the voice of progressive thought in all of Arizona. Here's Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry.
Hello, John. How's it going today?
It's going well. I asked Jeff Rogers just a few moments ago about the idea that Dr. Randy Fries, who was, I think, on an inside track to picking up a congressional seat in CD2, pulls out of the race after raising $500,000 on his way to the first million in what would have been a multi-million dollar race. Everybody thought he had waited a long, long time to find this opening and make this move. He did make the move, and now he moves out. Was that surprising to you?
Yes, it was. You know, I was a big supporter of Randy Fries. This is a guy who was an advocate for gun safety and health care his entire term. He was a fabulous representative. He was in office since 2014. So, you know, he was termed out from his state representative position. And looked like he was the leading candidate in to replace Ann Kirkpatrick in Congressional District 2. So, but, you know, I sent him an email, and he's also deciding whether or not to, you know, continue his term. He wants to devote himself to medicine, and I don't know, it's kind of hard to blame him. But there's a lot going on, I got to say, in the congressional race. So it's from the Democratic side, for Congressional District 2, it now comes down to State Representative Daniel Hernandez, who has, I think, about, he raised about $268,000, and he's got all sorts of credentials. He's a well-known figure in the Latino community. And then we have State Senator Kirsten Engel. She raised more than Hernandez. She raised $335,000, and she is an environmental lawyer. And I would peg Kirsten Engel as the lead candidate right now to replace Ann Kirkpatrick.
I would think so. You know, speaking of that, Randy Freese turning out, Pamela Hanley, Pamela Powers Hanley, also turns out, so District 9 is going to lose two incumbents because, obviously, they can't serve beyond those 8 years. That's going to be interesting as you take a look at the map for next year, and I would think a great many people, such as yourself and others, are somewhat worried about getting so close so many times to a majority in the House or even majority in the Senate, and it just failed by one or two votes over and over and over again. Hopeful that Democrats would have a good opportunity to take one of the houses of the legislature, either the representatives, state representatives, or the Senate. But with these term limits involved, we got a lot of new faces we're going to be looking at next year. How does that affect the hopes of the Democrats to take either the Senate or the House?
Well, it puts it a little bit more up in the air. And when you throw in redistricting, that could really change everything. But you're right. There's a lot of changes coming to Tucson's two leading Democratic districts. So one is my district, Legislative District 9 in the foothills. And I understand that State Senator Victoria Steele is going to run for Justice of the Peace. She served in the Arizona House for 4 years and then just got elected to the Arizona Senate in 2018. And nobody that I've really ever heard of has filed documents yet saying that they're going to run for the Senate seat. We also need to look at Pam Hanley. She was elected in 2016 and is up for election in 2022. We'll have to see what decisions she makes.
I think this is her last term. I'm going to talk with her husband, and I don't want to necessarily drag him into the politics of his wife, but I think this is the last term for her. I don't think she's going to run again. Like I say, new faces, and you're right, a new map puts a huge number of question marks over the hopes of Democrats to take either the House or the Senate next year. And this is not only affecting this district, and that's my district as well. I live at Country Club and Prince, and I will assure you there's other districts where people are coming or going, and all these new faces, I think, puts a real mystery into what's going to happen next year. And I know Democrats are trying to figure that out as well all over the state.
Well, let me go into that in a little bit more depth. Let's turn to LD-10, another Democratic district on the east side of town. Kirsten Engel, of course, is running for Congress, and so she won't be running for the state Senate anymore. And we got the word that Representative Domingo de Grazia said that he will not run for re-election.
Wow.
And interestingly, already a guy has surfaced known as the most hated man in the room, Morgan Abramson. He wants to run for that House seat. This is a Democrat who fought school funding in a proposition in 2016. So I don't know how you can be a Democrat and be against education, but apparently he's going to try.
Political nutcase, by the way.
Yeah. And that basically leaves just Representative Stephanie Stahl Hamilton, who will be the only Democrat to run again in LD-10.
Wow.
Now, ordinarily, I'd be kind of discouraged by all this change. However, the Democrats are more organized than I've ever seen them. So the state party has come out with this new 1530 program where they are placing organizers in all 30 legislative districts across the state. And it's a permanent position. So these will be people who will be lining up precinct committee people, organizing canvassing events and petition drives and so forth. And then also you've got the ADLCC, which is an unfortunately long name for the, the Arizona Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. That's it. And that's where I'm going to focus my efforts in the next couple of years, and that is on the state legislature. We are so close to flipping one or two seats in either the House or the Senate, which would give the Democrats parity or a majority for the first time in, since the 1960s. And I think the top of the race is going to do fine. There's not a whole lot of people running down ballot, but the legislature is going to be where the action is in the 2022 election.
And if you get a Democratic governor in Katie Hobbs, it would be a shame not to have at least one of the houses as Democrat.
Rather than
fighting Republican majorities. These are particular margins. I mean, one vote in the House, a couple votes in the Senate could turn things either way. And yet, again, all these new faces and a map that is a mystery. And it is a mystery map of how the lines will be redrawn again. So I know it's crazy to say this, but it's just a wait and see here of how these dynamics will affect the hopes of Democrats to emerge with either a majority in the House or the Senate. So it's going to be quite interesting.
And it leaves us more than a year to talk about it.
So. Well, it does.
That's a good one.
Then we're going to be talking about the congressional races as well. There's no question people are predicting, well, the Republicans are going to take back the House and they're going to keep the Senate and blah, blah, blah.
No, there's 20. I think we're going to, at least here in Arizona, Congressional District 2 went from a leans Republican district to a safe Democratic seat now. And the Republicans haven't really done anything to impress anybody. You know, this is the party of anti-abortion. It's, the party of voter suppression. It's the party of the stupid Maricopa, election audits. They really have a lot to be ashamed of.
Larry Bodine, it is great talking with you. Appreciate your analysis, and I always appreciate your work on Blog for Arizona. Washington Post calls it the best blog in Arizona. I read it all the time, so I know what the hell's going on. Thanks for allowing me to do that. I appreciate it. Hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk again very, very soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care, John.
You bet. Former award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News. He's a lawyer, contributor for Blog for Arizona, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, former delegate to the Democratic National Convention, Larry Bodine, on the John C. Scott Political Forum. Brought to you from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Back in a moment.
Do you want election integrity and transparency? Are you one of those Americans who is sick and tired of the political duopoly? Do you wish there were another viable choice? Do you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours? Do you question the political theater you're fed every day? What do you believe, the approved narrative or your own eyes?
Are you ready to become engaged for freedom no matter your political party preference? Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Are you tired of being lumped into the worst elements of history when you exercise your right to speak, dissent, or petition your government? Are you perplexed by those who cannot distinguish between speech and violence? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona.
Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
He is the smartest financial person I know. He's my friend and a regular to the John C. Scott Political Forum. Here's Jim Hanley. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here, John.
Hiring slows to 235,000 jobs in August after two strong months previous to that. And, of course, we've got the Fed saying we're not going to buy as many bonds as we used to or pump more money to the bond market. What does that mean? And give us a scoop of the market. So here you are, Jim Hanley, smartest financial person I know.
Thanks very much, John. Yes, that jobs report was pretty disappointing, dropping to 240,000 new jobs created in August. Although the market shrugged it off, as they say, because even though it was a big drop from July, in which it was upwardly revised to over a million jobs created in July, the unemployment rate was reduced. Nevertheless, it dropped from 5.4 to 5.2%. And so I think that investors use that part of it to stay invested. The Dow was flat for the week. Let's see, down 87 points. That's less than 0.25%. The Nasdaq had a better showing. It was up 1.55%. It gained 235 points. Now, on the jobs reports, initial claims set a new record low for the pandemic. It was at 340,000. That's 5,000 less than what was forecast. Continuing claims continue to drop as well. It set a new record low at just under 2.75 million. That's down 160,000 week over week. We also saw that productivity. I noticed productivity was measured to be up 2.1% in the second quarter. Unit labor costs up 0.3%. In the second quarter from the first quarter to it was up 1.3% from the first quarter. Let's see, payrolls in August 235,000. That was down 485 from what was forecast. So I think that I think that the slowing on jobs creations in August was due primarily to the fact that what had been the most robust sector for new jobs, this year, that's leisure and hospitality, created no new jobs. They had a net zero for the month. And so that really took a lot of the starch out of the wash in that, that month. So we're seeing that the Delta variant is hanging on. I think it is having a dampening effect on return to normalcy, our normal, social activity and normal amount of economic activity. I noticed, John, that children accounted for about 22% of new cases in the Delta variant, and I think that's a bit worrisome because, people had responded to the news of new infections. The the holdouts had responded. And I think the most recent week I saw, there was about 740,000 shots given on average daily that week. And so people are getting in and getting their vaccinations, the ones that have been holding out. And the ones that, you know, a lot of the ones that are holding out are getting infected. And, you know, and we know that some of them are dying and the rest recover and then, you know, have a natural immunity to the disease. But it's not helpful. It's not helping the recovery to have this variant that is causing a secondary surge and putting a damper on return to normal life.
Jim, what's to the effects of the Fed not buying bonds? Is that going to have a dramatic effect eventually here?
Well, the one thing I want to mention, John, is that Jay Powell didn't say that they were going to taper, or at least he didn't say they were. I think he said that if they were going to begin to taper, that means they're going to reduce the buying that they're doing. It wouldn't be until after the first of the year. Now, to remind you, they're buying $150 billion in bonds every month.
Yeah, wow.
And And so what the Federal Reserve has done is what's called monetizing debt. That's, you know, that's the term for it. And so if you look at the Fed balance sheet, which is about $8.4 trillion, up until 2008, the balance sheet ran about $900 to $950 billion, their balance sheet. And it was that way for decades. So 2008 came along, and if you remember, it was the Great Recession. And Bernstein was the Fed chair at the time, and he came up with this quantitative easing concept where they started buying bonds, and I think there was a huge purchase, a real surge in which it was called the Troubled Asset Repurchase Program, the TARP, if you remember that. And the Federal Reserve bought a lot of fixed income securities, securitized mortgages, you know, mortgage-backed securities from the major banks that were causing them a lot of, they were in a quandary because they were unable to actually put a value on those securities after they discovered that the rating agencies were not being honest about the quality of the bonds in these big pots of mortgages that the banks were buying and selling. So that continued after 2008. We went through QE2 and 3. And now, I think it started with Janet Yellen. They started the asset purchase program. And what it does is that it provides a buyer of last resort for bonds. And the thing that is troubling to me is that these are U.S. Treasury bonds. And so when the federal government spends more, and they have, in through the Trump administration, spending more than $1 trillion more than they have in revenue, there is the prices would be affected by a glut of those bonds on the market, and the Federal Reserve buying billions, tens of billions of dollars of those bonds artificially supports those prices by removing.
You can see the troubled waters there. Jim, we're out of time. I want people to call you at 623-3646. You protect people's investment and get them what they want and protect them from harm. And you do that so well that your business has grown by leaps and bounds over the last decade and a half that you've been doing this, or longer. I have great faith in you, and you have one of the greatest reputations of any financial advisor in Arizona, and I congratulate you on that. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it, Jim. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you so much for the kind words, John, and the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Well,
have a great day.
Those words are well-deserved.
Okay.
623-3646. Call Jim. Talk to him yourself. From the Production Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Next week, Escape from Tower 2, the most dramatic interview I've ever conducted in 50 years of Tucson broadcasting. Brought to you by Perfection Auto Works. And Mike Emery.
Honey, I'm home. Vacation has officially started. We are off to SeaWorld.
Yay!
All right, kids, let's get packing.
Hun, did you call Perfection Auto Works for the free summer trip inspection before we hit the highway?
Oh, honey, I forgot. I'll give them a call right now.
Hey, we're not going anywhere without Perfection Auto Works' free 26-point inspection checking out our car.
How do you avoid jaws on your wall for auto repair? Start with Perfection Auto Works' free 26-point inspection. Then, consider if it's time for brakes, major service, timing belt replacement, or any other scheduled maintenance on your car, truck, or SUV, from an Audi to a Volvo, and all cars in between. Don't leave town without that free vacation inspection. 323-8650. Or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com.